This is VOA News via remote. I'm Joe Palca. The UN Security Council is scheduled to meet today for the first time on Russia's troop buildup and threatening actions against Ukraine at the request of the United States. All key players are expected to square off in a public over the possibility of a Russian invasion and its global impact. U.S. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield said Russia's actions pose a clear threat to international peace and security and the UN Charter. Meanwhile, Russia's deputy ambassador called the proposed meeting a PR stunt. Russia is claiming that NATO wants to pull Ukraine into the alliance amid these escalating tensions. From Associated Press, Karen Chanas has this.
Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov told Russian media they also want to pull Ukraine into NATO, although everyone knows that Ukraine is not ready and could make no contribution to the strengthening of NATO's security. Russia's massing of an estimated 100,000 troops near the border with Ukraine has prompted warnings from the West against a Russian invasion of the country. Russia, in turn, demands that NATO promise never to allow Ukraine to join the alliance. The US and NATO has formally rejected Russia's demands about halting NATO expansion. Britain's Foreign Minister Liz Truss has warned, however, that any action by Putin in Ukraine will have consequences.
The number one thing that will stop Vladimir Putin taking action is if he understands the costs of that action.
I'm Karen Chamas.
Members of the Ukrainian community in New York City are worried for the safety of their relatives as tensions between Russia and Ukraine ramp up toward what some feel could be war not just only in Ukraine, but for all of democracy. Andrew Fesak and the cantor of the Ukrainian Orthodox Cathedral of St. Volodymyr in New York.
I personally don't think that Putin will risk invasion of Ukraine, because I think that would create a very high political price for him.
This is VOA News. U.S. President Joe Biden is preparing to host the ruling leader of Qatar at the White House as the West faces the prospect of a European energy crunch if Russia invades Ukraine. Qatar is one of the world's biggest natural gas suppliers, but it might only be able to offer limited assistance if Russia disrupts the flow of energy supplies to Europe. The White House anticipates that Qatar may renew its request for a $500 million purchase of M9 Reaper drones. Also up for discussion is the status of U.S. efforts to resurrect the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. Syrian air defenses intercepted an Israeli missile barrage targeting the eastern outskirts of the capital, Damascus, according to Syrian state media on Monday, citing a military source. The source was quoted as saying unspecified material damage was caused by the missiles being intercepted. Two Syrian military defectors said the strikes targeted rugged areas northeast of Damascus near the town of Qutafa. Here, the Iranian-backed Lebanese Hezbollah group has a significant military presence and a weapons depot. The Israeli military declined to comment. North Korea has confirmed that it has test-launched an intermediate-range ballistic missile capable of reaching the American territory of Guam in its most significant launch in almost 5 years. AP correspondent Charles de la Desma.
Today's launch could be a prelude to bigger moves by North Korea, such as nuclear and long-range missile tests that pose a direct threat to the American mainland as the North tries to further pressure the Biden administration. North Korea says the test verifies the accuracy of the missile, which was launched towards waters off its east coast on a high angle to prevent flying over other countries. It gave no further details. According to South Korean and Japanese assessments, the missile flew nearly 500 miles, reaching a maximum altitude of nearly 1,250 miles. I'm Charles de la Desma.
For more on this story, visit our website at voanews.com. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres says the UN has received credible allegations that more than 100 former members of the Afghan government, its security forces, and those who worked with international troops have been killed since the Taliban took over the country on August the 15th. In a report obtained Sunday by the Associated Press, Guterres said that more than two-thirds of the victims were alleged to result from extrajudicial killings by the Taliban or its affiliates, despite the Taliban's announcement of general amnesties for those affiliated with the former government and U.S.-led coalition forces. Via remote, Joe Palca, VOA News.